in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us here on Revelation. We'll see what we get into tonight. It should be quite an interesting subject. I want to thank our producer as well, Rascal Stevens, for getting us on the air and doing his job and his part. And that's that. It's his job. He does it. This is all voluntary. Nobody's got a job here, and yet we all have jobs. So we do our best in order to bring the truth to you, because that's what it's all about. Once you know the truth. The truth, kind of, not to be cliche, but the truth sets you free. It sets you free in the sense that now you've got hard facts to deal with, or you've got an idea on what is correct and what is false. And in this time of history in which we find ourselves, comprehending what is truth is most important. Because the truth will get us into the future, and we can have a very successful future. We'll talk a little bit about that closer to the end of the show. But tonight I want to start with propaganda. Propaganda is everywhere. There's propaganda all throughout our lives, from the time that we're born, basically, until the time that we pass away and re-enter the earth. Or wherever we wind up, our lives are filled with propaganda. Other people's narrative on how we should live, or what the reality of the situation is that we're supposed to believe, and it is typically all man-made, with an interesting connection that goes back 4,000 years. It goes back to the origin of, I guess, what we could call propaganda. Actually, the origin of propaganda would have started right in the Garden of Eden with the serpent. Oh, you won't die today. No. So, hey, it's not going to kill you. You can eat this fruit and you'll be just like God. The original propaganda. Well, it's interesting. You can look at that two ways, I guess actually several ways, and say, yeah, that's what started it all. It was propaganda that was actually false, because the serpent, as we are referring to, which actually is the angelic life form, the cherub, as he's identified in Ezekiel, the covering cherub of Eden, most likely head of genetic engineering, not just here on Earth, but every Earth-like planet that exists in our universe. Earth was only the beginning. But we get a real significant influx of propaganda. Now, keep in mind, it all starts with this cherub that gone bad, who we refer to as Satan. It started with a lie. It won't kill you. You'll be just like God. And then there were other instances where things were interjected, like when we have the sons of the true God or the watchers saw that women were beautiful. The daughters of men had grown in number, and there were some pretty hot looking women down there. Gee, we can materialize and we can create our own offspring, couldn't we? But there comes a slight legal right here that comes into play. You see, they would have had to form a contract, and most likely these watchers were deceived by the satanic cherub that, hey, you see those earth women? You know, well, now I control the planet. I control the population. Remember, well, we'll get to Jesus in just a minute, but when he tempted Jesus, he tempted him with all the kingdoms of the earth just for an act of worship. You could have it all, the whole planet. Well, not the planet. You see, the kingdoms of the earth. And so, what did he entice the watchers with? Earth women were hot. Hey, you can start your own population. You can have offspring, just like the human children of God can have offspring. So can you. You see, most people don't realize how precious the creation story is, where we become the children, the babies of a galactic family. Actually, not just a galactic family, but an interdimensional family. The only thing that is physical about us is our body, our consciousness, our thoughts. Our thoughts don't become physical until we turn the thought into a physical creation. Other than that, they're spiritual. And this isn't propaganda. This is the reality. You see, we've all been lied to that we were created, to an extent we were, but we were created by these lesser gods. We'll cover that in a minute. But getting back to the watchers, or the sons of the true God who came down and created the offspring of the Nephilim, which started to literally ruin the world. You know, you want to know where the Egyptian pyramids came from and a lot of other magnificent buildings? The watchers. Oh, yeah, that's why all of this starts to make sense. Advanced technology were used in these ancient locations, and they say, oh, no, it was the Egyptians that did this, or was that civilization that did that, or, you know, you don't get the truth because of academic propaganda, a narrative that they want you to believe. The academics are run by the clergy. Oh, that's not true. Yes, it is. It actually, when we start to expand this, it was the scribes who controlled what was going on more than anybody else, because it was the scribes who took the information and put it into writing, the earliest writing would have been the cuneiform writing of the Sumerians, and that's kind of like where we wind up. We know what happens with the flood, but after the flood, we have the great-grandson of Noah, Nimrod, who becomes a mighty hunter. And it's interesting. He only gets a short mention here, but he becomes a mighty hunter in opposition to Jehovah, or in opposition to Yahuwah, the creator. He became a follower of Satan, who was in opposition to Jehovah or Yahuwah. And so, here's where the story starts to get good. And so we get some really interesting propaganda that comes into play. And we get the Epic of Gilgamesh and a lot of other interesting things. But Nimrod himself, and I'm going to tell you, I went back and looked to went to Google, silly thing. What a waste of time Google has become. But when I did the original research, because this was almost 20 years ago now, when you could actually find things on the internet that were accurate, and you could usually find several sources for the same subject. Now, that information's all over the place. Good luck finding it. That's why we have artificial intelligence. Yeah, and artificial intelligence is artificially intelligent. I have yet to have artificial intelligence tell me very much that wasn't just academic. But getting back to Nimrod, he became a mighty hunter in opposition, but not when you look at the historical account outside of the scriptures, what we find is that Nimrod, he was a mighty hunter. And first he was a hunter. He was a hunter of lions. As the population grew, so did the lions. And lions would, and they've had this situation in Africa for years. We've heard stories coming out of Africa where lions would come into a village and carry somebody off. Usually it was a rogue lioness that, you know, couldn't hunt for herself anymore. That's what they found in most cases. But lions were attacking the population. And so Nimrod went forth and he became a hunter of lions. Think about that. Hunter of lions. What did he use? A spear? His courage? Imagine facing a bow and arrow? Maybe a sword? Maybe. But evidently, he racked up quite a score. And as he would go in, he said, well, you know, you guys can't live like this because more lions are going to come. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a city. And so we'll build this city with walls that will protect you from the lions. And you can pay me for getting rid of your lion population now, and I'll show you how to build this city. And the biblical account gives you all the different cities of Nimrod, which go all the way into basically Syria today, but all the way up the Euphrates River, almost to the Mediterranean. Nineveh was his furthest west city, as I recall. But on his way back to, and he just built an empire. An absolute empire, the Sumerian Empire. And it's an interesting development. We a lot of the information is really not recorded accurately. And then you have to find somebody. And there are a few people who can go back to the cuneiform text and actually get the history and then supporting history of the development of Nimrod's empire. But we know most of it biblically from the Tower of Babel. How do we get to the Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel was Nimrod's attempt to build a tower that went into the heavens for two reasons: to keep the technology that they were developing all around, and to build something that was so tall that if God caused another flood, it could never get to them. The elite could escape it. And when that caught God's attention, Yahweh's attention, or Jehovah's attention, he said, look, they're all one language, and this is what they do? I told them to go scatter and fill the earth, subdue the earth and fill it. And they're building a city? He said, and now there will be nothing that they will not think of that they won't be able to accomplish. So whatever they think of, they're going to be able to accomplish. And so what did they think of? Well, it was a city in opposition to God. And so the thing about Samaria is you could worship anything. You could worship anything you wanted except for Father Yahweh, or Yahuwah, the creator. Whatever you wanted to worship. You wanted to worship frogs, you worship frogs. You wanted to worship rocks, you worship rocks. Whatever you wanted to worship was cool. because as they conquered people, they assimilated and they made everybody happy. Of course, to gain control over them, some of the worst religious ideology has come out of ancient Babel or ancient Babylon, where it actually first starts. And with that, we have the beginning of what become the gods, the sun god, the moon god, and the star gods, which carried on in Egyptian mythology, which or mythology, however you want to put it, in their religious belief system. But it starts in ancient Sumeria, and it starts, interestingly enough, with Nimrod's wife, who was actually a prostitute. He was on his way home from one of his conquests, and he stopped at this inn, and he met Semiramis, and he became so infatuated with her, I guess she was good at what she did. He took her back to Babel, and he made her his wife. And she was very power-hungry and very scheming. And historically, it's said that she actually had Nimrod murdered in a pretty gruesome way. We don't need to talk about it right here. And then after she was murdered, keep in mind she was a prostitute, she became pregnant, and she told everybody, she told the masses this, she was pregnant with Nimrod, who wanted to come back to be with his people. And the interesting thing is Nimrod had made himself a god. He was the sun god. Semiramis became the goddess of the earth, moon, and stars. And the first child, Nimrod incarnate, is named Tammuz, which is interestingly a Hebrew month, the month of Tammuz. Makes you wonder why. But regardless, and that, there's explanations for that too. But Tammuz actually died early, not too long after he took the throne. But Semiramis ruled the throne through Nimrod, and then after Nimrod, and then through the life of her son Tammuz until he passed away, or she passed away, and then he passed away, and then it went on to whomever. But it was in that triune, that trinity, you have interesting, a mirror. And keep in mind, Satan wants to be just like the creator, Yahuwah. He wants the glory, but he wants it from a worship, submissive standpoint, as opposed to being part of the family. You see, he stepped outside the family to control planet Earth, and he separated us from the family, our galactic or interdimensional family, more accurate. That leads to some very interesting thoughts once you comprehend interdimensional and all. We're in dimensions 8, 9, and 10. I don't care how you slice it. According to string theory, we are in dimensions 8, 9, and 10, and there's got to be at least 7 other dimensions to support the physical. You need 7 dimensions to support our physical 3-dimensional world. Oh, we're going to ascend. Yeah, we're going to ascend beyond the 3rd dimension. You see, after that, you become interdimensional, which we may have the ability to do someday, but not now. Many, many, many years from now. But right now, we're living in a time we're still trying to figure this stuff out. We got to do it quick. You know, the Titanic is sailing. Do we get off? That's an interesting perspective. I'm getting off this. Something ain't right. It's not right. Let's figure it out. But anyway, we have the what happens within the first ruling era of ancient Sumeria is that we have the setup for all of religion. Now, when the languages at the Tower of Babel were confused, you had religious belief systems that went their separate ways. The people were scattered, and they went to different areas of the earth, and they took those belief systems with them, and the technology, and they didn't just, I can't understand you. You can't understand me. We're speaking different languages. How did that happen? Oh, I'm out of here. It's not the way it actually happened. What they actually developed sign language, and the account says that they eventually left off building the Tower of Babel. And so they took those ideas and their ideology with them, whether they went to the east or whether they went to the west. Now, we pick up history typically from ancient Egypt, what is considered the first world empire. And ancient Egypt has been studied a lot, and we've been lied to a lot about ancient Egypt. But as we follow the world empires, we go from Egypt to Assyria, which was part of ancient Samaria, back to Babylon. And it's interesting, Babylon here, keep in mind that God's people came out of the Sumerian Empire, Abraham or Abram and his father and his nephew Lot left the city of Ur, which was part of that empire. It would have been like Abu Dhabi now, to go live in the desert. But the area that he occupied was going to be his future homeland. He wasn't going to just be a 15-minute city dweller. He was going to be given a whole countryside and a land that flowed with milk and honey, that had super green pastures. Unfortunately, it was inhabited by a bunch of godless people, probably the worst of the worst. They were the Canaanites that inhabited that land. And we have Canaanites among us today. I'll get to that in a little bit. But going back to ancient Babylon, that ties in to where we are today in so many different ways, because it was ancient Babylon which set the precedent for Babylon the Great in Revelation 17, Revelation 18. And that's what we're going to talk about more so, is the how we got to where we are today and how it involves our religious beliefs. That's why you need science and the Bible to figure this out. You need accurate history, something else that they don't tell us, where they're withholding a lot of information from the public, a lot. Ancient Babylon was a world empire. It controlled the Euphrates River. They traded throughout the whole area. They captured Israel, or actually Judea, and took the Jews back to Babylon around 600 BC, if I get my numbers right here. But about 600 BC, they assimilated them there, and that land that Israel was living on was left fallow because they didn't keep God's laws. They didn't keep the Sabbath. They got involved with Baal worship and Molech worship. And they gave up God's law, and so it was time for them to be punished. And so they were taken to Babylon. Now, Babylon had gone down captured as far from the Euphrates down along the Mediterranean and into Egypt, northern Egypt. That all became Babylonian territory. And it was 70 years that God's people were in Babylon. And it was when the Persian, Cyrus the Great, low Trump, and Darius the Mede changed the course of the flow of the Euphrates River and captured Babylon without hardly firing a shot. They took it over in one night, the whole city. Now, it's interesting, when Trump was first elected, when he won the election in 2016, the next day, the Jewish Sanhedrin, which is the high court in Jerusalem today, in our time now, 2016, declared Trump the modern-day Cyrus. The modern-day Cyrus. What did Cyrus do? He captured Babylon. He made it possible that the Jews could go back to their homeland. And interesting, they made a coin with Trump and Putin. They're both their profiles. Trump first, Putin's behind him. And they declared that Trump was the modern-day Cyrus, which would have made Putin the modern-day Darius the Mede. It was actually King Darius that financed the Jews back to their homeland in, it was about 15 years after the conquering of Babylon, but he actually financed the return trip, and he financed the building of the temple to get them reestablished as a country. Interesting, you know, God's will be done. But we here again have the third world power scattered out, but everybody's got their belief systems, because then when you get to the Zoroastrianism of the Persians, but we also have the biblical record where now we know, or the historical record both, where Greece becomes the next world empire after Medo-Persia.
What happened, Peter? I lost you. Looks like he's offline. Give me just a minute, people. We'll see if we can get him back. Look, most of you know, but just in case for a few of you who are maybe watching for the first time, he's out in the boonies, literally out in the boonies. He's off grid. And so looks like he lost internet. I'm just waiting to see if he's going to log back in and we can get him back up and going. This is one of the things about doing a live show. There's no editing. There's no, you're watching it and hearing it as it's actually happening. Let's see. Yeah, he's not answering my text either. So there must be a communication issue on his phone. Let's try one more. No. All right, bear with me while we try to get this thing working. In the meantime, I'll play you guys one of my commercials off of my show. If I can. Oh, Lord, here we go. Hey, Marcus, good to see you, buddy. Hang on.
I just can't help myself. I keep falling deeper and deeper in love. Every day, it's harder. I just can't stop thinking.
I keep on falling.
I keep on falling.
In love with you. Sometimes I'm
All right, we're going to try to bring him back on. How are you?
How are we doing there, Riscala?
All right, now I hear you. Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, how about that? Let me just do that. And, you know, Riscala, I don't know exactly where we got snapped off from what I was saying, but I hate to be redundant. Do you know where I was when you couldn't hear me anymore? Uh-oh.
No, I don't know. When you went offline, I got surprised and wasn't paying attention. I was trying to get you back on.
Okay, I'll tell you. Then.
Uh-oh, did I lose you again? Knock, knock, Peter. Wonder what's going on.
Yep. Am I here?
Yep.
Well, I tried to open up another window, and so that explained that. But hold, yeah, I had them all closed before. I don't know what happened.
Wow. Well, you were
okay. No, I went and closed. I was just going to try to see on YouTube where we left off, but I guess it doesn't matter. I guess I'll pick that back up.
I'll
tell you what. Hang on just for a minute. Get us started, and let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
All right. Well, we got the technical. Let me get this off. Get away from. We'll go back to. You were talking. One of the things you were talking about was hailing Trump as Cyrus.
Ah. Okay. Good enough.
It's all yours.
So we good? Good.
Go ahead.
Are we coming back on?
You're on, Peter. Go ahead. Okay. Can you hear me, Peter?
Hey, are we back? Are we back here? Are we good to go? Yes, I can. Right. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me, Peter?
We're good to go. Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on.
Okay. Good enough. You know, I'll tell you, Riscala, try to cover the truth. Somebody doesn't like us somewhere. That we always have some sort of technical difficulty right in the middle of whatever we're trying to accomplish. But let's get back at it. If they'd like to, you know, if we weren't trying to uncover the truth, which flies in most of their faces, we wouldn't have these issues. If we were talking about, you know, anything else but this, we wouldn't have the issues. But hey, the closer you get to the truth, expect more opposition along the way. That's what we got to study and work at it. Work at finding what is true. But from what Trump was declared the day after he won the 2016 election. The Jewish Sanhedrin declared him the modern day Cyrus, and they issued
you lost. You're off, Peter. I don't know if you can hear me, but you're off. Wow. Peter,
this is crazy. Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, you're just talking about Cyrus again and right gone.
You are kidding me. No. Oh, I don't even know what to say about that. And there's nothing that should be upsetting this apple cart, trust me. As far as everything is shut down here. I've got one small desk light on. Everything else is off.
Well, you're wrong. So, go ahead.
Okay, well, let's go. Cyrus the Great and Putin's Darius. Historically speaking, these two destroyed Babylon. When you look at what we have with what's coming up in Revelation 17, we have this eighth world power, which could very well be driven by Putin and Trump. And what are they going to do? Destroy Babylon the Great, which, interestingly enough, would then, what, liberate Israel? Or would it liberate all of God's people? See, right now, Israel, unfortunately, is a captured operation, as is the rest of the world. And you can't blame that the Israeli people for doing this or doing that and say, nah, you can't. Because people are people no matter where you are all around the world, just about every place that I've ever gone to, you can make friends with the people, the local people.
I don't know what's going on. Peter. Wow. This is crazy. Peter. I don't know if you can hear me, brother.
Yep, okay.
You were talking about the people and you went off. I don't know what's going on.
This is absolutely crazy.
All right. I give it back to you. You were talking about the people, and then you were gone.
Oh, shucks. I just thought, are we still good?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So people, wherever I've been, I've always been able to make friends with the people there. And so it's the people are fine. It's the politics. Who's running the politics? How far up the food chain do you want to go? Right to the church? Yeah. But let's take a look and make comparisons between what we see in the Vatican today, what we see in Washington, D.C., and what we see in the history of ancient Babylon. Does the church teach the truth about Jesus, about the Bible? No. And we know that because we can look at their iconography. We can look at their religious idols, their statues. We can see that in everything that they do, their pomp and circumstance. The church was alleged to be founded by Emperor Constantine. Emperor Constantine was a Mithra worshiper. The god Mithra was Assyrian. It said that Mithra was the pagan version of Jesus. Interesting. Okay. But Mithra is a carried on teaching which came out of ancient Samaria. And Mithra is another name for Tammuz. Tammuz, the son of Semiramis, the queen of Babylon, back in ancient times. And so here, she was actually the whore of Babylon, to put it quite plainly. And so the comparisons are priceless between history and the future. It's just interesting. So here we've got the same thing going on with the church. The church adopts Jesus as Mithra, as Jesus. Constantine actually had a statue made of himself. I believe it was a 20-foot-high statue as the god Mithra. And the church's icons are the Holy Mother holding the baby Mithra. They have crowns on their heads, symbolic of Semiramis and Tammuz. So the basic teaching and iconography of the church goes right back to ancient Babylonia, the Sumerian Empire. And so that's what is really being put forth. When we look at what's going on within the grounds of the Vatican itself, you see St. Peter's Cathedral. But what stands in front of St. Peter's Cathedral? It's an Egyptian obelisk, the penis of Ra. What? Go look it up. You'll find out exactly what it is. It's Osiris, Horus, and Set, and it's the whole belief that don't want to get into it now. Look it up. Do some research. Yeah. The obelisk is a penis. It was also used in Baal worship. And why is it standing in the middle of Washington, D.C., the biggest one on the earth? When you count how many feet are in the ground to the top, it's 666 feet. Interesting. From its foundation to its peak. Interesting number.
Peter. This is crazy. Yeah. So never happened before.
No.
You were saying, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You were saying, interestingly enough, and then you were gone.
And then it was gone.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a show that goes down in history, you know. and folks, I'm sorry for this. You know, I don't know what to say about what is happening.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, you're back on. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's take it from here. And I'm sorry, Riscola. Where did I end up? Keeping track of this. I know we're talking about Mithra worship. Oh, is it the iconography that you see within the church today? When you look at the Vatican from the actual air, of an aerial view of the Vatican with the obelisk, it almost looks like a penis and a vagina the way that it's shaped. But what's it doing there? What does that have to do with Christianity? What does Tammuz or Mithra and Semiramis have to do with Jesus, with Yeshua, with the Son of the Creator, with Christianity? Nothing. Well, what about the holidays? Which one do you want to take first? All Hallows Eve, which we just had. A celebration of the dead, which was adopted from the Celtic adopt. When they adopted the churches, the Celts into the church, they adopted Halloween, All Hallows Eve. What about Easter? Oh, you mean the worship of Ishtar, the fertility goddess? What about Saturnalia? Oh, the worship of Saturn. Yeah, it's not Jesus' birth. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Most scholars will put his birth the end of September, beginning of October, and a lot seem to agree on October 4th. The majority seem to agree on October 4th for some reason, and it has to do with festivals and holidays and what was going on with the census at the time. And that's how Jesus winds up in Bethlehem to begin with. So, that's has nothing to do with Saturnalia. Saturnalia is a celebration of the end of the year as it comes to an end, and then the rebirth of the sun. It's the diminishing and the rebirth of the sun. Sun worship takes us back to ancient Egypt. What was that? Sun worship takes us back to ancient Babylon, ancient Samaria. Sun worship, moon worship, star worship. Huh. And then it's always worshiping something. So we get the Son of God, Jesus. What was Jesus' message? Oh, I want you to join my religion. He wanted us to be part of a kingdom. He wasn't coming back he didn't come here with the religious message. He came back as being a king of a kingdom, a governmental message, a political message. Think about that. It had nothing to do with religion. It was his kingdom, which kind of separates true Christianity from religion. They're not the same. You see, the church cherry picks scriptures, and they, up until the 1960s, the late night, the I think it was the middle night, 1960s, the priest always gave mass in Latin. How many people know Latin? Oh, how do you know what he's saying if you don't know Latin? Stand up, sit down, light the candle, kneel, bench, throw money in the change purse, and have a good day. Did you know that the largest spy network on the planet is owned by the Catholic Church? Not the CIA, not any of the three-letter agencies. It's the Catholic Church. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Okay, what'd you do this time? Funnel this information up. Yeah. The Catholic Church controls virtually everything that is done on the planet. They control 64% of the landmass. They control the postage, the postal systems, and they control all shipping. Think about that. The queen that sits on many waters. Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great. The queen that appoints kings. Why didn't America have a king? Why was it actually better yet? Why was there a separation of church and state? Our founding fathers said that religion makes monarchies. So they weren't going to let religion be part of a state. Oh, well, what about Islam? Had to bring that up, didn't you? Hello, New York. Yeah, I hope they fare well as many of the other states around this country that have adopted an Islamic system. See how it's working out for Europe, especially England. The indigenous personnel have become second class, and their daughters have become subjects of rape and worse. And yet, how did all this happen? How do you think it happened? We talked about this last week. Why did we see the Pope in America's holy places and then go before the United Nations and give the United Nations their marching orders, which were the post-2015 development agenda? Post-2015 development agenda pointed to the 2030 development agenda, which then points to the 2045 post-human development agenda. Actually, it's transhuman. And that's where they want to go, is to take us to a point of being of transhumanism. That's why they keep on making computers, hello, quantum. Once they can get a computer chip to get down to cell size, they hope to integrate our psychic ability, or actually our soul, our consciousness, our thoughts and our memories to a machine. Because once you get down below to 2 millimeters, you're now in wave technology, where protons and electrons all interact with each other, and that's what we're made up of. And so could they do that? Could they build something of that nature? Well, they're working on it. That's their agenda. Look it up. 2045 agenda. The transhumanist agenda. That's where they want to take us. They want to take the population to a point where, who's they? To a point where we're not human anymore. That we cannot be identified as God's children. Think about that. That we totally lose our Adamic connection back to our Father and totally remove any trace of that from this planet. That is their objective. That is the satanic objective, to totally subvert and destroy every person who has a connection back to the Messiah, back to the Christ, back to the Father, and through a lineage which is put in a book in which we call the Bible. It's all there. The church will never teach it. They're too busy teaching you repetitious prayers. Why? Because Jesus said, don't be saying the same thing over and over again as the nations do, thinking that by using many words, they're going to have an audience with God. Don't say the same thing over and over and over again. So, Jesus said, call no one your father except for he that is our Father, the Creator. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Quoted that before. Why do we call another man father, who's actually not our biological father? But really, the biologic is just the physical. It's the spiritual end that it gives us our consciousness and our conscience and activates our soul energy. It's our soul which is important. So you sold to the devil, you'll find out just how important that is. And yet how many people have done that in the entertainment industry? How many people have actually done that? Riscullo, are we still together?
Still on, my friend.
What's that?
You're still on.
Hey, interesting. I have a screen that just doesn't show StreamYard anymore. I don't know why. I just had to stop and ask.
No, as far as I can tell, we're still live. We're live on Facebook. We're live on LinkedIn. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Rumble. And we're live on the website.
Good enough. That's all that matters. Boy, tonight's been an adventure. I never thought I'd have such an adventure in delivering an hour radio show. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Getting back to the, I'm sorry, and I apologize for that. It's like my screen just changed. What's going on here?
No worries.
Good. We're at a point in time where we're facing the biggest challenge the human family has ever faced. We have had hundreds of years of lies, in some case thousands of years of lies, have been stuck in our face and have been taught to us from one culture to another. And then we've had the repeating of ideology and ideas which have been instituted into our culture. I'll give you a good example. And I've mentioned this one before on the air, not necessarily on this show. We have three gods from antiquity, three principalities, which started ruling this country, the United States, and it's now into the rest of a good portion of the rest of the world. Baal worship, Ashtoreth worship, and Molech worship have overtaken this country. And it's most seen right now in Ashtoreth worship, because Ashtoreth had both male and female temple prostitutes, and they would be interchangeable. So they were transsexual. Think about that. Transsexualism is nothing new. It's thousands of years old and has been reintroduced into our culture, into our children. By how? By propaganda. Oh, this is cool. You know, back when I was a kid, bell bottoms and platform shoes were thought to be cool. They stayed around for a little bit, but I haven't seen them in a long time. But now we've hit something else. Oh, that's cool. The worship of Baal. Baal was a fertility god. And so great orgies would be carried out to Baal. The majority of the population has lost its moral compass, especially when it comes to the generation, the millennials and Generation Z. They've lost their moral compass. They don't have one. If they had a moral compass, we wouldn't see transsexualism take over as like we're seeing it. And then you've got Molech worship. Molech worship is the burning of human children, sacrificing human children, infants mostly, to the god Molech. He demanded live child sacrifice. What do you mean? What do you mean? Hello, abortion. The child isn't even born. And it's being sacrificed. And I'm not going to get into all the things that they do with the remains of those unborn fetuses or those purged fetuses, those aborted children. It's horrific. And so how much has civilization changed from the days of the beating drum and the throwing of children into the fire alive? Not very much. Those same principalities are still at play today, destroying the families, destroying the not just the human family, but the bond that we have in between our relatives and ourselves. Our personal families are being destroyed by this. What other types of propaganda? Geez, we talk about propaganda from all night long about this. How about, oh, you really need to get the jab? How'd that work out? How's it working out now? We've got propaganda out of Washington. The propaganda out of Washington is amazing. You've got all of the people who have their own channels now, similar to this one, but they're carrying out, they're actually syndicated. They've got political backing, and you can go look and find out which ones they are. And they're carrying a reverse pop propaganda than the network news. So it's all around us. So our seeking for the truth has to, you have to do digging. You have to do the research. You're better off not believing anything that you hear on the news or on the different YouTube videos that are, you know, if they're telling you political news, they're telling you propaganda. Anything political right now is to keep one movement or another movement alive and in power. And the infiltration that has happened within this country and many countries like it through the election system, through the airwaves, and the COINTELPRO, the reverse propaganda to get everybody on the same bandwagon and supporting not just the restitution of the country, but the restitution of the world. You see, liberate other countries who have been taken over by the biggest propagandizing agency on the planet, which is the church.
Time's up, Peter.
And so with that, I'm going to say, hey, thank you for listening. Hit the like button. Keep us on the air. Join the network. We always let new people on. And I'm sorry for the technical difficulties that we had. And I will say love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic week. Be sure to listen to all the other shows, including the Positive Podcast and the Red Pill Reality Show. Positive Podcast tomorrow, Red Pill Reality Show on Saturday. Ruscolo, thank you for producing. Again, love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic week.